get that sense of a challenge through that passage? The psalmist has faced challenges. In verse 140, he says, "Your promises have been thoroughly tested." He's been through it, hasn't he? He's been pushed to the limit, like Ian was saying earlier, whereabouts God's word has been pushed, and God has proved to be faithful. He's proved to be true. He's found them not wanting. Sometimes, even though we know it's not true theology, we kind of think that because we're Christians, that God will always answer our prayers and he'll always protect us from everything in life. And we read the promises in the Bible that suit us, the promises that say, you know, God will protect us, that God will shelter us, that nothing will harm us. And somehow we end up taking this out of context. And we believe that if we claim God's protection over us in the name of Jesus, that nothing bad will ever happen to us. But actually, that isn't what the Bible says, is it? Jesus didn't avoid a difficult life. If anyone had a difficult life, it was Jesus, wasn't it? And the way he ended his life was a terrible death. Did that mean that God didn't keep his promises towards Jesus? Of course not. Jesus was God's son who God was pleased with so many times, that was shown. And what happened was that Jesus put God's promises to the test, and God proved himself faithful again and again through every path that was taken. If we believe that God should protect us from all harm, then our faith is going to really struggle, isn't it, when we face one of those trials, one of those temptations, one of those troubles that batter us down. Why does God allow suffering? It's one of the biggest questions in history, isn't it? And there are no simple answers. But I remember hearing, I think it was Ian or Vicky in a sermon recently, shared the story of a lady who tragically lost her son. And in her depths of her sorrow and her pain and her despair, she called out to God, "Why, God? Why has this happened to my child? What has happened?" And in the silence, she heard God say, "I lost my son too." And she knew in that moment that God understood her pain more than anyone else can, because he also had suffered that loss of losing his son. And so she knew in her sorrow that she could completely pour out her heart to her father, because he cared, because he loved her, because he wanted to embrace her and surround her and hold her, because he cared. You know, life does deal some harsh blows, doesn't it? Remember Ishmael last year saying how he had narrowly escaped losing his life to cancer. And on the day when he got his all clear in remission, his grandson was diagnosed with what turned out to be a terminal cancer. How can we possibly get our heads around it? Some things feel so cruel, so unfair, so utterly unbearable, and life sometimes does bring devastation with it, doesn't it? The challenge feels too much. I pray that most of us here tonight won't have faced such heartbreak, and yet we know in our midst there are people that have absolutely and are facing such challenges. But even for those of us who have so far escaped such pain, we've still faced storms in life, haven't we? We've still faced challenges and difficulties and illness and death. Life isn't easy. And my question tonight, as we read this psalm, as we look at it, is this. A question that me and Hayley asked ourselves numerous times a few years back was, have these storms deepened our faith, or has it made our faith falter? The psalmist has clearly struggled through a lot of distress and trouble. We don't know what it was, but through it all, he says that he has known God's utter faithfulness through God's word. Is this going to be our testimony too? How big is your faith? Do you feel things are overwhelming? Are you experiencing them overcoming you, or are you overcoming them with your faith? There's that wonderful verse in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, that says, "Faith the size of a mustard seed can move a mountain." You know, I went to Moreland's Bible College a few years ago now. And I remember being in our class right at the beginning of the 3 years, and Moorlands is set in a beautiful landscape garden. It's stunning. It's got huge trees and lots of grass and paddocks. It's absolutely beautiful. And I remember the lecturer saying to us, right, come on, you guys, I want you to focus your faith. Who here has got faith? And we're like, yeah, you know, we're all keen, we're all starting, we're all going to be pastors and missionaries and evangelists. There were people from Pentecostal churches, from Baptist churches, from Anglican churches. And we're like, yes, we've got faith. And he said, okay, you know that verse, that tiny bit of seed, a little seed, and you can move a mountain? There's a tree just there, okay? I want you all to focus on it. And we're going to focus it with our faith, and we're going to get it to move. Okay, so here we are, a whole group of us, 30 of us, all looking at this tree. And inside me, I was really hoping it would move, just so the lecturer had a different tack to take. But you know what? What happened? We all focused our faith on this tree to move this tree, even just a tiny bit. Didn't move an inch. Not even the breeze didn't blow it that day. Why? Did we not have faith in the room? Was there not faith even the size of a mustard seed between us? No, of course not. But I believe it wasn't God's will that that tree moved. We can move a mountain if it's God's will. We can't move a mountain if it's outside of God's will. But we can keep on believing on him and keep on knowing that we can trust him. And again, if we do have that faith and we keep praying into it, you know, one day maybe God will choose to move that particular mountain. But it raises lots of questions, doesn't it, this whole area of faith and praying and stuff. Why does God heal sometimes and answer a specific prayer sometimes and then another time he doesn't? Why is that? Does it mean that God doesn't answer our prayers as we wish because he wants people to suffer? Well, of course not. I don't think that could ever be the case because our God is love. Does your faith become stronger as we learn to trust God, regardless of how he chooses to answer our prayers, regardless of what life brings our way? Will our faith grow? Will we continue to have the courage to pray for miracles? Will our faith continue to grow regardless of whether God answers yes or no, or wait? It can be hard sometimes, can't it? It can be far beyond our understanding as to why and how God answers prayer, especially when things happen to those that we love. But God calls us to keep on trusting him, regardless. It could be easy, or it can be easy, to become bitter towards God when he doesn't answer our prayers as we would want him to. When we see such heartbreak and suffering and we witness and experience that ourselves, how can such horrific things be part of God's will? It isn't easy, is it? It's definitely not easy, and particularly when it's affecting us personally and those we love. But the psalmist in this psalm again and again reassures the reader that God is good, that we can trust him, that God is God Almighty, that he's all-knowing, he's all-powerful. Trust in God. Don't allow situations to break your faith, but allow that God of comfort to come in, to share your pain with you, to know that he is as faithful as the testimony of that lady we heard about earlier, who knew that God cared, that he understood. To hang on to that testimony of Ishmael, who said earlier, you know, he again found his faith in God growing and became stronger because of the awful challenges he faced. Is it easy? Of course not. It's hard. But to know God in our sufferings, to know God on the path of challenge is the best place to be, isn't it? To know that he's there with us, we're not walking it alone. How much better than getting angry at God because he's not answering us or ultimately rejecting his love and comfort. So much better to know his love and comfort in the paths and the challenges that we face. And here in this psalm, the psalmist so clearly says he's been through extremely tough times, but he says he's kept trusting. God has never let him down, and God will never let us down. God is worthy of our full trust. The psalmist brings out a few pointers to demonstrate that God is trustworthy, regardless of what people do. Because God, after all, is supreme. And so in verses 137 to 141, it says this: "You are righteous, Lord, and your laws are just. The statutes you laid down are righteous. They're fully trustworthy. My zeal wears me out, for my enemies ignore your words. Your promises have been thoroughly tested, and your servant loves them." God's word is trustworthy no matter what people do. That's the first point. God's word is trustworthy no matter what other people do or what they say. The psalmist has spent his time trying to tell people about God's love. He's tried to share God's word with them, but they've ignored him. They've ignored God's word. I wonder how that left the psalmist feeling. Have you ever taught in Sunday school or in a small group? You've prepared and led that home group with all your heart. Maybe you've spoken on the streets and shared stuff in your families, in your homes. You've put a lot into it. You've prayed about it. You've thought it through. You've prepared. You've given it your best. And yet it feels like it's just falling on deaf ears. No one's listened. No one's responded. No one's interested. Why aren't people responding? It can be so discouraging. There was a time years ago now, I was asked to preach up in Norfolk, and it was in a little chapel. And when I arrived, there was just 12 people there, and someone else was leading for me. And when I stood up to preach, they were already all asleep, apart from 3 people. And you know, I honestly just wanted to sit back down again. It was just like, oh God, I've come all this way, I've done all this work, and there's only 3 people awake at the start of my sermon, let alone at the end. You know, it can be hard, can't it? But I wonder how it is for those missionaries as well. I had some friends who worked out in an African island, and they went out for 10 years to this island where it was over 99% Muslim, and Christianity was not allowed. And they spent 10 years working there, bringing up their family, sharing their faith in every way that they could, seeing very, very little results for it. But there was one family there who had gone abroad for work, and then they'd come back to the islands, and they'd become Christians while they were away, and this man had become a pastor in the islands. And when it was known about his faith, he was taken at night and put into prison, and his wife and young child were put down a cesspit and left there for the night. How hard for people who are being persecuted for their faith. And yet when he was released, when his wife came out of that cesspit with a small child, they continued seeking to serve God. Would our faith stay as strong? Have you faced ridicule or judgment because of your faith? Has it made your faith stronger or weaker? The psalmist says, "Your laws are right. You are fully trustworthy. You are righteous, Lord." As we face each day, we need to allow God's Spirit, don't we, into our lives to increase our faith, to spend time reading and meditating like we've heard so many times through this psalm, so that God's word is hidden in our hearts so we can face the trials of the day. Will your faith be like that of the mustard seed, which grows into a mighty tree? Or will your storms of life, the challenges that we face, will it uproot it? Will it shrivel us up? I love a storm. I love it when it's really windy and it's howling down your chimney and you can hear the windows rattling and the roof tiles rattling. And when you look out and you see the trees are still standing, isn't that amazing? When you've stepped outside and you're leaning into the wind and, you know, you're trying not to get knocked over by it, and yet these tall trees are still standing. Why? Because of their roots, isn't it? Their roots go deep. Their roots are holding them in. If you had a mustard seed on your hand, it would blow away in the wind. If you put it into the soil, it's not of much use when it's just a seed in the soil. But it's when it starts to grow, isn't it? And it becomes a tree. It's when it becomes that great tree and the roots are there to provide nourishment, to hold it firm when the storms blow hard. Are our roots deep? Are they deep enough to hold us through the fiercest storms? Are we receiving that daily nourishment from God's word as he wants to share with us? It's the same theme again and again and again, isn't it, in Psalm 119. Are we listening? Have we started picking up our Bibles more as we've heard again and again on a Sunday evening to get deep into God's word, to let your roots go deep, to be nourished, to be meeting with God daily? Certainly impacted my quiet times as I've heard this psalm again. And so this psalmist at this point says he's worn himself out trying to convince people. He's tried his best and it's fallen on deaf ears. But he has remained faithful. He's not allowed himself to become discouraged. So easy to become discouraged. But that's not what God wants for us. God's word is trustworthy regardless of how anybody else responds to it. As a Christian, God's word must remain absolutely central in our lives, mustn't it? Because God's word is trustworthy and we need to be nourished by his word day in, day out. But even if we haven't read it this week, since last Sunday, God's word remains faithful. God's word is here to nourish us afresh tonight. It doesn't change. God doesn't change on a sunny day and happy day. He doesn't change on a dark and stormy day. God doesn't depend on us for anything. But we can always depend on our God. So God's word is trustworthy, no matter what people say or do. Secondly, God's word is trustworthy of regardless of how you feel. And verses 142 to 143 say this: your righteousness is everlasting and your law is true. Trouble and distress have come upon me, but your commands give me delight. Feelings. Ooh, for some of us, we're really touchy-feely people, aren't we? For others, we're true English, our stiff upper lip, and we don't let feelings touch us very much. But as I wrote this, it was the end of the week on mental health. I don't know how many of you like watched any of the documentaries and things that were taking place. There was a whole week of considering about mental health, and it was really interesting. But one of the things that frightened me was how they were saying so many children are also affected by mental health problems. Isn't that frightening? You kind of think as childhood it should be fun and carefree and no worries, and yet our children are struggling. And one startling fact that they gave was that children, girls, by the age of 7, have got an idea of what their self-image should be and what they look like and how they feel about themselves. That's terrifying, isn't it? They think about whether they are fat or thin, or whether they're beautiful or ugly. They've already established that by the age of 7. But I've raised this point tonight that God's word is trustworthy, regardless of how we feel. It's not just about our mental health and how we think, but it's much more shallowly than that. We're such fickle people sometimes, aren't we? Our mood can change in a minute. The queue in the supermarket makes us frustrated. The loud music, which isn't to our taste from our neighbours next door while they're having their barbecue, isn't of our style and it irritates us. Or we're watching a comedy and it makes us laugh. Or you're reading a story and it makes you cry. Or some days I simply watch an advert and it makes me well up. What's going on? Tiredness makes us grumpy. Being with our family, hopefully, possibly, fills us with enjoyment. Our feelings are constantly on the change. Situations impact us differently. Relationships cause our emotions to fluctuate. And for each of us, we respond differently, don't we, to the things that life brings and the simple things to more complex things. But these verses tell us that regardless of how we feel, regardless of how we're feeling inside, our God never changes. His word doesn't change. God's word is trustworthy regardless of how we feel. To truly know this brings a wonderful sense of security. When all around is stormy, when we're facing some of the challenges of life, to know that God remains the same is a real rock, isn't it? To know that his word stays the same is incredibly reassuring for us. However you're feeling tonight, know that your God hasn't changed. He's there. He loves you. He is the Almighty. He is our rock. He is our shelter. He doesn't change. He is utterly trustworthy. Our feelings can change. what other people say and do changes. But God is trustworthy no matter what is said or done, no matter what challenges we face, no matter how we feel tonight. And then a third and final point, a good Baptist sermon tonight. God's word is trustworthy no matter how long you live. Your statutes, it said in 144, are always righteous. Give me understanding that I may live. When I was in sixth form at school, one of my friends gave me a little NIV Bible that I can no longer read because my eyes are not good enough. But I used it for years, and I used to underline bits in it and write little notes in it. And because I used it for years, I'd often go back and see something I'd written from a long time before. And sometimes it would make me smile of like how God had spoken to me through a verse that I'd taken so far out of context. You know, it wasn't really what the person was writing in the Bible, and yet God had graciously spoken to me, and it meant a lot at that time. You know, was I wrong in the way that I understood it? Theologically, yes, but not in the sense of how God was speaking to me. And God speaks to us, doesn't he, in a way that we understand, in a way that we can hear, in a way that makes sense to us. God's word hasn't changed, even though now I may understand it better theologically, but actually God was speaking to me at the level I was at. And I truly believe that God in his gracious patience spoke to me in a way that I could understand, that was simple. And I'm so grateful for that. We don't have to have a degree in theology to pick up God's word and to allow him to speak to us through it, because his word is alive and it's our rock. It's a foundation stone for us. God's word remains the same. It's steadfast. It's trustworthy at all times. I'm so grateful for that fact because my parents have read the Bible for many years. And it's remained trustworthy for them. It's proved faithful, just like the psalmist said, for my parents, they would stand here and witness tonight that God has never let them down. My grandparents, great-grandparents, my ancestors, they've known God's word to be faithful at all times, at every stage of their lives. God's word doesn't change. We can hold on to it and know the truth in it. God's word is always trustworthy, regardless of what people say or do, regardless of how we feel, regardless of how long we live. God's word is always trustworthy. It's good news tonight. Whatever we're facing, whatever might come our way this week, over the next few weeks, over this coming year, we can keep spending time in God's word, deepening our roots in him. If you go away with one image tonight, go away with that image of that mustard seed turning into that tree whose roots go deep into God, and make sure this week our roots go deep into God's word, whatever the challenges face, because we can trust God. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. That is the message of the psalmist tonight, a message of shelter, a message of hope, a message of life through the challenges and storms that might hit us, because we can stand firm in our Father, in our God. God is always steadfast. God is trustworthy. What a testimony. Amen.